Turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and we're actually going to read verses 1 through 20. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. If you do not know our dear pastor, obviously he was here last Sunday. He got sick last Sunday night and was back in the ER, everything checked out well for his health. Then he gets home, I believe, on Tuesday, I can't remember, Monday or Tuesday. I think it was Tuesday. He gets home Tuesday, and he comes down with the flu. And so, please be much in prayer for our pastor. He is feeling better. I spoke with him already this morning, and so he is feeling better. But please be much in prayer for him as he recovers. And pray also that Miss Kathy does not get it. So far, so good. But please pray that she would not get it. And so, Luke chapter 2, commonly we know this as the Christmas story. If you would, please, let's all rise together as we honor God's word together in Luke chapter 2, and beginning in verse 1, and we'll read down to verse 20. And it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, and to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to man, toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them." Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the word that we've already read. Lord, I know this is a very familiar passage of Scripture. And God, as we open up your word today, God, may it fall upon us anew and refresh. And God, through this passage, Lord, may we worship you this Christmas season. Lord, may we worship you through this time, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of our message today is Christmas Without Christ. What is Christmas without Christ? Now, that is a question that we all know the answer to. It is one that we know what we should say. There is, if you took Christ out of Christmas, then it would mean nothing. Now, I want to just share some statistics with you here and by way of introduction. There are 165 states or territories around the world that celebrate Christmas. There are 21 areas considered a holiday, but do not consider Christmas as a public holiday. And then there are 14 territories, such as North Korea, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, that do not celebrate Christmas at all. Now, Of those 185 territories that celebrate Christmas, I would say that most of them do not celebrate Christmas for the right reason. Now, as you and I know, the reason that we celebrate Christmas is the birth of Jesus Christ. But they oftentimes celebrate it for the wrong reasons. Many think it's about a Christmas tree. Many think it's about families and eating meals. But we know it goes more and deeper than that. Now I want you to think about this. If we took Christ out of Christmas, what would it mean? Let's just ponder on this. If you took the meaning of President's Day out of President's Day, what would it mean? Nothing. If we didn't think about our former presidents on President's Day, it would mean nothing. If we took, let's think about this. If we took July 4th and we didn't celebrate the reason why that we celebrate July 4th, but it was just all about the cookouts and the fireworks and all that, that would mean nothing. We wouldn't have any meaning behind it. And we could talk about every holiday that we have, we could talk about it, and if we didn't celebrate the true meaning of it, then we would not, it would be all for naught. You know, in our society today, America has tried to take Christ out of Christmas. They have tried their best to take Christ out of Christmas. They have tried to say happy holidays instead of Merry Christmas. We can go throughout, you can go anywhere you want to, and you will see many people say happy holidays instead of Merry Christmas. Why is that? It is not because they're trying to say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. It's because they want nothing to do with the word Christ in Christmas. Is that an awful thing? Absolutely, my dear brethren. There are many of our TVs and all that will not say Merry Christmas, but they will say Happy Holidays because they don't want to offend anyone. Well, my dear brethren, it does offend someone, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if it offends him, it should offend us. And so we understand that not only through happy holidays, but many people want to put Merry Xmas. That makes me so angry. It gets my fire boiling. I'm telling you, it does. When they try to take Christ out of Christmas in every facet of it. We also think about instead of a Christmas tree, they try to say it's a holiday tree. They have banned Christmas songs that deal with Christ. Why is this? Because we live in a sin-sickened world. And because of our sin-sickened world, we are trying to take the true meaning out of Christmas. And here's the truth of the matter. We may not think that we're doing it, but oftentimes, even as Christians, we forget the true meaning about Christmas. Listen, what is Christmas without Christ? What is Christmas without Christ? Christ. I want to share something with you. As we think about Christmas as we know it, did you know that we spent, this is just in the United States, I looked this up this morning, I could not believe it, but we spent $964.4 billion on Christmas last year. $964.4 billion. That is an amazing statistic. And that shocked me. I could not believe we spent that much on a holiday. And here's the sad part about it. We didn't spend it all on Christ. Well, oftentimes we spend it on gifts and we spend it on all those things. Now listen, I'm not saying don't give your children gifts. I'm not saying any of that. But what I'm saying is place Christ at the forefront of it. Because without Christ, we don't have Christmas. And so let us now look into our passage of Scripture and let's just compare and contrast what is Christmas with and what is Christmas without Christ. Well, if you go to Japan, if you were to go to Japan, you would celebrate Christmas. But here's the problem. Japan does not celebrate Christ at Christmas. See, their two religions make up 80% of their nation are Shinto and Buddhism. Now, Shinto religion focuses on rituals and worships as shrines. And Buddhism makes up the major part of their population. And so we understand that they don't celebrate Christ. They don't celebrate what Christ is at Christmas, but they celebrate just another day of giving gifts and what. So if we were in Japan, Christmas would be about Santa. Christmas would be about gifts. Christmas would be about festivities. And Christmas would be about lights and the glamour. Christmas would be about the food and the goodies and the visits to the mall and going to look at the lights. All of those things Christmas would be about. But I want you to understand, my dear brethren, today, all of those things are good and they are a part of Christmas, but they are not what makes Christmas. They are not what makes Christmas. See, all of those things are not permanent. All of those things have just a little bit of value, but they are meaningless if there is not something greater. And like I said, it's like if Veterans Day, if we didn't pay tribute to our veterans, why would we have that day? If we didn't celebrate our freedom on July 4th, why would we have that day? If we didn't give tribute to the ones that have died on in the battlefield on Memorial Day, why would we have that day? They would be meaningless. And that is what I'm trying to get to you. Christmas is meaningless if all that we're doing is celebrating gifts. Christmas is meaningless if all we're doing is getting together with family and friends. We can do that any day of the year. Christmas is meaningless in all those things that we are that we put so much time and effort into if we are not celebrating what Christmas is all about, and that is Jesus Christ, the one that came as a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes on that first Christmas morning through the virgin birth of through Mary and Joseph. That is why we celebrate Christmas. And as a church, my dear brethren, may we never forget why we celebrate Christmas. And so, as we've seen, Christmas without Christ is meaningless. It's just another day. Praise God, I can give you a gift any day. But every day I should celebrate Christmas, but I'm not. But now let's get into the meat of what I want us to understand. As Christians, we don't celebrate just the little things, but we celebrate Jesus Christ coming as a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. So what is Christmas with Christ? What is the celebration of Christmas with Christ? Well, first, it is the celebration of the prophecies being fulfilled from the Old Testament. How you and I know that the Old Testament, and we're going to look at some of these here in just a moment, but the Old Testament is filled with prophecies about the coming of Jesus Christ. People had heard about it for many, many years, about how Christ was coming, the Messiah was coming, but they had not seen it happen. But on that first Christmas morning, when Jesus came as a babe in the manger, it was fulfilled. And that, my dear brethren, we celebrate still today. We do. Why? Because it shows the power of Almighty God. It shows the knowledge of God. It shows that we from the Old Testament can still believe the Old Testament because of the prophecies being fulfilled through through Christ. It's how we can back everything up from the Old Testament, Jesus Christ backed up in the New Testament. And so that, my dear brethren, we still celebrate today. Now let's just see this. As we think about celebrating the prophecies being fulfilled from the Old Testament, it tells us even back in Genesis chapter 12 that Jesus would come from the line of Abraham. Go with me to Genesis chapter 12 in verse 3. I want to read verses 1 through 3 so we get a better picture of what is taking place here. In Genesis chapter 12, the Bible says, "Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Now watch this. Watch what God says here. "And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and then and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So we see here that we celebrate that Jesus would become from the line of Abraham in Genesis 12 and 3. But then we also celebrate that Jesus would be a descendant of Isaac and Jacob in Genesis chapter 17, verse 19. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and I will establish... Here's God saying, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. We celebrate that this morning. We celebrate that Jesus would be born in the town of Bethlehem in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Look with me there. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. If you're like me, you have to, it may take you a second to find Micah. It's one of those places it's hard to find, okay? But in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, it says, But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been made from of old, from everlasting. We celebrate that in Micah, it was prophesied that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. We know from the New Testament of the life of Jesus, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Jesus would be a member of the tribe of Judah in Genesis 49 and 10. Also, Jesus would be from the lineage of King David in Jeremiah. Go with me there, Jeremiah 23 and 5. Jeremiah 23 and 5. We see that he would come from the line of King David, the one that was a man after God's heart, and Jesus would come from his lineage, even though David was not perfect, but praise God, he came from that line. And it said in Jeremiah 23 and 5, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Who were they talking about there? Jesus. Isaiah prophesied that Jesus would be born of a virgin. Also in Isaiah, Jesus, he talks about Jesus would live a perfect life, die by crucifixion, resurrect from the dead, and ascend into heaven and sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. Isaiah 53, 10 and 11. Go with me there. Isaiah 53, 10 through 11. It says here in verse 10, Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and thou shalt be satisfied by his knowledge. And shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Who was he talking about there? He was talking about Jesus Christ. And that is what we celebrate. The people around the world got word that Jesus was born. And can you imagine their response about the excitement that they had, that they'd heard about all of this for so many years. And then it truly took place on that Christmas morning. So that, my dear brethren, is one thing that we celebrate this Christmas. The Old Testament prophecies being fulfilled. But not only do I think about the Old Testament prophecies being fulfilled, but secondly, I think about the celebration of the angel Gabriel coming to Mary in Luke 1, 26 through 35. Go with me there. Go with me there to Luke 1, verse 26 through 35. We understand this is a very familiar passage where the angel Gabriel comes to Mary, and Mary is very confused about what is about to take place. But look with me in verse 26. It says, In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Mary, you're special is what the angel was saying. Mary, you are highly favored in God's eyes. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son in his name, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." And then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the High shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Listen, we celebrate the coming of the angel Gabriel to Mary, and Mary being the most confused teenager in the history of the world. And you say, "Well, why do you say that?" She says, "How can this be?" Meaning that she was a virgin, but the angel said, "There's going to be one to come out of you, and he shall be called Jesus. He shall be the Son of the Highest, and he shall be called the Son of God." We celebrate the power of Almighty God coming through the life of Mary and Joseph. Now listen, put your shoes in Joseph's shoes right now. You know, it was an impossible thing that could happen. The shame of Mary and Joseph. And Joseph had to decide what to do, since in the world's eyes, she had done something very bad and unforgivable. You know, having a baby out of wedlock was looked upon in a different way than it is now. Now, I'm not saying it's okay now, but I'm saying it's much more accepted than it was back then. Poor Joseph had to make a decision. Should he accept this so-called pregnancy, understanding that this could not have happened? But at the same time, could he believe what the angel Gabriel said and know that God's plan was much greater than anything Joseph could even imagine? And we celebrate that today. See, God used just old, ordinary people to fulfill his plan. He used just old, ordinary people like Mary and Joseph to do great and mighty things. And he praised God, he's still doing that today. And so we celebrate the power of the Most High coming to tell Mary what was going to happen. We celebrate the coming of John the Baptist, praising God in Luke 1. John was the prophet of the Messiah. John was to prepare the Lord's way. He was to prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. We celebrate that this morning. We celebrate the impossible birth. As it says here in Luke chapter 2, verse 7, go with me back there to our passage in Luke 2, 7. And we go back to Luke 1, 26 through 35. The angel Gabriel told Mary what was going to happen. We know that Mary gets pregnant. And in verse 7, it says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Listen, my dear brethren, this Christmas, we still continue to celebrate the impossible birth. The birth of Jesus Christ is one of one. Did you know that? There has only been one virgin birth, and praise God, there will only be one virgin birth. And it is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this Christmas, we still celebrate the virgin birth. It was impossible to the human eye, but through the power of Almighty God, who we serve, nothing shall be impossible. Yes, scientifically says that it is impossible, but through the power of the Highest and through the power of Almighty God, it happened. And yes, some people say, "Do you really believe that happened?" Absolutely, 100%, I believe that Jesus came from the Virgin Mary through the power of Almighty God. And so we celebrate the impossible birth. We celebrate the fulfillment of the new covenant. Go with me to Matthew 5 and 17. Jesus said, here in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 17. Now remember, from the Old Testament, they had a sacrifice of the blood of the bulls and goats. But in Matthew 5 and 17, Jesus said, Think not that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Praise God, he fulfilled what needed to take place. See, the old covenant was insufficient. The old covenant never completed the work of salvation. It is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away the sins of mankind. There had to be a sacrificial human being, but he had to be spotless. He had to be spotless, and there was only one man that was spotless, and that is the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who we celebrate this Christmas. Oh, but not only do I think about the celebration of the new covenant being fulfilled, but next I think about the celebration of the angel of the Lord coming to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 14. We'll read that very quickly once again. It says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto him, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. We celebrate the coming of the shepherds. I think about six, we celebrate the coming of the wise men, bringing gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Listen, in Matthew's Gospel chapter 2, we preached from that pastor's scripture a couple of weeks ago, and I asked you the question, what are you giving, what gift are you giving Christ this Christmas? Listen, the wise men came with the best that they had. They gave them gold, they gave them frankincense and myrrh. Gold presented in a token of king's royalty. Frankincense, an Aramaic substance using sacrificial offerings, and myrrh was a perfume used in ointment. And as the wise men came, we celebrate that this Christmas. Seventh, we celebrate the celebration of the newborn king. The celebration of the newborn king. The celebration of a man that brought peace. A true light in the world filled with darkness. The celebration of the man that would give hope to the hopeless. Listen, Jesus Christ came in a time that was in a desperate need of a Savior. If you look back at history, people were very poor during that time. People were sick. People were being killed. Herod, the king, was killing kids less than the age of two. People were blind. People couldn't walk. People had diseases. But then Christ came to this world to help in all of that. We celebrate the life of Christ. We celebrate the mighty miracles of Christ. Listen, I know that we celebrate the birth of Christ on this Christmas, but as we do, we celebrate his life down here. And I promise you, I bet if we could ask Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus, we could ask the ones with leprosy and the all the other ones that he healed with illnesses, what they celebrate this Christmas, they wouldn't say anything about the gifts or whatever. I believe they'd say, we celebrate Jesus Christ. And as they would, I believe that we need to do the same. How many of us this Christmas are very thankful for what God has done? How many of us have been blessed this Christmas already? I can promise you, standing here today, that I have been blessed this Christmas. What took place last Sunday was the greatest gift that I could have this Christmas. And that is what I celebrate this Christmas, the coming of Jesus Christ, but more importantly, the one that saves men and women, boys and girls from a place called hell. That is what I celebrate this Christmas. And so finally, we celebrate a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. But then finally, and I'm wrapping up this morning, what is Christmas with Christ? It is all about the birth of Jesus Christ. It's all about the power of the highest. It's all about the mighty miracle of Christ, the virgin birth. But it boils down to this right here. It's all about the celebration of the greatest gift that was ever given to mankind. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave you and I the greatest gift that was ever given to mankind, and that is Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, he didn't wrap Jesus up in wrapping paper, but he wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. And Jesus Christ grew like you and I did. And he had to go through everything that we had to. He had to go through temptations. He had to go through sufferings and all those things. And then he had to go to an old rugged cross. Why? Because of our sin. And not only did he have to go to the cross, but he had to die, being separated from God. And as he went to that cross, he did so for you and I. And as he died, he resurrected the third day, and we celebrate Jesus Christ this Christmas. For God so loved you that he gave you the greatest gift that he could ever give, and that was his only begotten Son. And as he did it so that you could have eternal life. And that, my dear brethren, is what we celebrate this Christmas. Romans 5 and 8 says, but God commendeth. That means that he showed. You know, oftentimes we love to show our love toward our families every Christmas by giving them exactly what they want. But praise God, God showed you more than we could ever show our children. We could ever show our grandchildren. He gave us Jesus, and he showed his love because it says, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And because of that, that is what we celebrate this Christmas. I want to challenge you with this, as I did so this week. Christmas is all about Jesus Christ coming into this world by the impossible birth, showing the power of the highest, being the light shining in the darkened world. It's all about the greatest gift that God ever gave to us, and that is a Savior that would save the sins of the world. It's not about the gifts, the festivities, the lights, the food, or the glamour of Christmas, but about a Savior whose name is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ is the reason for this season. And as he is, may we celebrate him. And so in this invitation, I want to challenge you with two things. I want to ask you two questions as I close this message today. Number one, have you accepted the greatest gift that was ever given to mankind, and that is Jesus Christ? See, it was a gift. But here's the thing about it. Jesus Christ has given every one of us that gift. But the problem is, we must now take it back. We must receive it. Have you received Jesus Christ into your life? If you have not done so, I ask, I beg of you, give your heart and life to Jesus this Christmas. He desires to have a relationship with you. He wants to have a relationship with you. But you must accept him by faith. And you must believe that he is the Son of God and that he is the only way to heaven. And through him, one can be saved from their sins. And if you do that, the Bible says in Romans 10 and 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt believe in thine heart, thou shalt be saved. The Bible tells there in Romans 10 and 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My question to you is, have you accepted that gift? And if you have accepted the gift this Christmas, I want to ask you this. How are you worshiping Christ this Christmas? My challenge to you, not only in this invitation, but this season, is that at every gathering that you have, that you point your family, you point your friends back to the cross, and that you show them that it's not about these gifts, but it's all about Jesus. So may we continue to read the story. May we continue to worship the story, and may we continue to live out the story of Christ this Christmas.